Hey, Elissa Walker Campbell back with you in hour number one at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are trying to stay cool inside the Quicken Loans studios here in Houston and always so excited to visit with our next guest. He is truly one of the legends in our business, and he's with ESPN and a longtime columnist with the Boston Globe, the great Bob Ryan. I hope you've had a good summer so far, Bob.
I have had. Very nice. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Well, listen, there are so many NBA storylines we want to get into, especially during free agency. But, you know, who are the biggest winners and the losers? But first and foremost, I'd love for us to pay tribute to the great Tim Duncan, who announced his retirement on Monday. He walked away from the game so quietly in his farewell. Just give us some words about just his incredible career.
Well, it was a perfectly appropriate Tim Duncan farewell in that he didn't even speak himself originally. It was a press release announcing it from the team. He did speak yesterday. He did speak a couple of days ago. Now, the numbers are all out there. Anyone who's interested, they will find out how many times he made All-League, how many times he was MVP, how many points he scored, how many this, how many that, how many the other thing. And that's all fine. And anybody who already cares already knows all that. I'm always interested in the image and legacy that a player leaves. And by legacy, I mean how he played, the style, the unique nature that each great star brings to the game. And Duncan has got a niche that's very, very specific in that he is perhaps the greatest big combination big that we've ever known in terms of being able to play both forward and center at the highest level. You can't really classify him. It's easy to say he's the best power forward in history, which he is, and with all due respect to some greats such as Karl Malone. But he's more than that because he also just slid effortlessly into playing center anytime Greg Popovich needed it and was a high-level center. Not everybody can do that. In fact, there are very few guys who have ever been close to doing that. Kevin McHale probably be the closest thing. And no, really.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's his own special thing. Plus, you have the personality. But what I always will think about with him is the blissful convergence of three things, which is Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, and the city of San Antonio. I honestly believe that he would not have become the same or been able to develop into the player that he became for any other coach, and I don't think he would have been anywhere near as happy in a major media market. It would have altered his career and his outlook on everything. I think he was very fortunate to have run into Greg Popovich and to be drafted by the Spurs. And, of course, they were very fortunate to have him.
Yes, of course, and so many conversations this past week about Tim Duncan. Is he the greatest power forward ever in NBA history? And you talk about, I mean, ends his career, wow, 5 NBA championships, 2-time MVP, 15-time NBA All-Star after 19 seasons. What do you appreciate about him the most? I mean, what comes to my mind is, here's a guy, we talk about even just this quiet farewell, he had no ego.
Well, he also did something that is very rare in this day and age, and it is documented and it's unmistakable, and anybody wants to see to the extent it was, it's remarkable. Go on basketballreference.com and go all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see salary. And you'll see that for the last 4 years of his career, he took one for the team. He absolutely positively saved his team money to enable them to acquire other players. People talk about this. A lot of players, people think Tom Brady's doing it, but really it's fancy bookkeeping. He's not doing it to the extent that Tim Duncan did it. Tim Duncan did it. Tim Duncan played. And I'm not saying that we should feel sorry for him for the money that he was making, and he'd be the last one to ask you to do that.
Yeah.
Believe me. I mean, his career earnings are well over $200 million, but the thing is, he did take one for the team in a way that most guys are refusing to do, and I think that he should be commended for that. Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this one in because
sure.
I think this is very important in understanding Tim Duncan and the uniqueness of this person in the history of NBA basketball. I think he was very fortunate in a lot of ways, one of which was that he was born outside the United States, continental United States. He was born in Christiansted and grew up in St. Croix. This meant that he did not go to high school in America. This meant he did not get involved in the wretched AAU system that has corrupted and ruined and debased our basketball game at every level since it's taken hold and hijacked adolescent basketball from the high schools of America. So he came in pure. Next stroke of good fortune is that the school who saw him and it offered him the scholarship was Wake Forest at that time, because Dave Odom was a pure coach, an egoless coach, a coach who did not coach for glory. He coached because he loved basketball, and he was a professorial type. So that was a perfect marriage for Tim Duncan. So in every step of the way, he brought something to the table that was important, but then he was placed in a circumstance where he could flourish with the right people. And all this went into the making of a unique player, Tim Duncan.
We are celebrating the amazing career of Tim Duncan. Of course, we're going one-on-one with ESPN's and Boston Globe longtime sport columnist, the great Bob Ryan, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. Okay, so when we talk about Tim Duncan, I mean, in your mind, what is the criteria? I mean, for what makes the player the greatest? What's your criteria for selecting the best, Bob?
There's two ways of looking at great players always. One is peak value, and one is career staying power, if you will. I mean, he gets high marks in both cases.
Okay.
His peak value is that I think he's the best power forward, and because what did he do? He could score. He could score close to the basket. He had that wonderful bank turnaround that would make him a mid-sized scorer. He was an excellent passer, one of the best passers from that position, certainly of his time, if not all time, certainly from the power forward position. I don't think of a better one. I can name small, you know, so Larry Bird is a better passer. LeBron's a better passer. Rick Barry's a better passer. But they're not pure power forwards, any of them. He was. So that's number. In defense, he made all defense about 15 times. There's no argument there. And as a teammate, just out to win. He was a proven winner. And he did it for 19 years. And very few guys play that long. And so he touches both categories. There are other players that in the argument at other times that had great peak values but not the long careers. He had both.
So what do you think is the next chapter for the San Antonio Spurs? How do you think they will transition?
They took a preemptive step last year by signing LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
Now, he's not Tim Duncan, but he's a very good player, and he was the best player available in the free agent market in 2015, summer, and they got him, and now he's ready to, and he was a slow starter last year, if you recall. There were some questions, not questions, but they were remarking in November and maybe even into December. His numbers weren't that great. As time went on, he acclimated himself. Now, there'll be more burden placed on him, no question, especially since Manu Ginobili is effectively done. I mean, he's not anywhere near the player he once was if he even decides to come back. And Tony Parker's 33 years of age, and he's going to come off a summer playing for France. He's going to be more exhausted before the season even starts. So it's going to be a lot of it's going to be placed on all. Now, they also have a great player in Kawhi Leonard. He is the star of the team, but Aldridge is going to have increased responsibility. I think he can handle it. They're going to be fine. They may not win. They'll win their customary 50. They won't win 60, perhaps, but they'll be a team to be reckoned with.
Okay, so we shine the spotlight on the San Antonio Spurs. Let's do a crossover. Let's head over to the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about your Boston Celtics. How would you rate their offseason moves, and do you think they're taking the right steps towards a rebuild? What's been your assessment?
Al Horford is a wonderful improvement step to help them get another round deeper in the playoffs, at least. I don't know that they're absolutely done. Or rumors had been swirling about everything, including a blockbuster three-way that would have brought them Blake Griffin. That's a fantasy. If the fans, if that ever happens, the Celtic fans should have every reason to be very, very, very excited.
Yeah,
but we'll see how that materializes. They've taken proper steps. There was so much was expected because of the proliferation of draft picks that Danny Ainge had acquired. Turns out they weren't as valuable as people thought, not only in the first 2 years. They still have more coming from Brooklyn, and there's no reason to think Brooklyn will be anything but a terrible team in the next year, and they should have a very high pick again next year with the option to pick Brooklyn's pick. And they're moving in the right direction, and they're entertaining. They have a great young coach. They kind of created a star in Isaiah Thomas. No one when he came to Boston expected him to be this good a player. But we did learn in both the playoffs of the last 2 years that asking a 5'8" guard to be your primary scorer is just asking too much. Even though he had a 42-point game along the way, he had too many games where he was stymied, and he needs help. And Al Horford is a step, is a major improvement. He's a guy who can score inside, he can score outside. He's a winning ball player. The only hitch, if you will, is that he's 31, or will play at 31. Be nice if he were 4 years younger, but, you know, it's an imperfect world.
We're going one-on-one with ESPN's and longtime Boston Globe sports columnist Bob Ryan. Stick around. Much more coming your way at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.